Okay. Good morning, everyone. I want to welcome all of you to this Las Animas County Board of County Commissioners regular meeting. Today is Tuesday, February the 18th, 2025. It is 9 a.m. I'm going to call this meeting to order. Please rise for an invocation by Commissioner Tony Haas, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance by Commissioner Lucero.
Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Today, we commit our families into your hands, and we ask that you guide and protect them. Let our bond grow and strengthen as the years move on. Heal them of any pain or sickness. Please grant them their heart's desires and never let them depart from your life. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, commissioners. Roll call, Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner Lucero?
Yes.
Commissioner Haas?
Here.
Commissioner Lopez?
Here. Thank you. Approval of the agenda. Do we have any changes to the agenda, Mr. Dorenkamp?
Commissioner Haas, the board to remove items 9D and 9E.
Thank you, sir. Any discussion, commissioners? Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I move to approve the agenda with 9D and 9E removed from the agenda.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Haas?
Yes.
Commissioner Sir?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you. We don't have any items on section two. We're going to go to section three. I read the correspondence, commissioner, committee reports. Commissioner Haas, would you like to go first?
Sure. Turn up my phone off. February 5th, CCI had two meetings, one discussing the modular housing bill and amendments and the amendments that are sought. One question and the other bill was the construction defect bill. One question that was asked of the first bill is, have they talked to the insurance companies since the last meeting? Apparently, the insurance companies would be amenable with the maximum standard. Moving forward, the debate ensued then among the commissioners. How would that help keep housing affordable? They argued that eliminating local control wasn't going to benefit anyone, and a blanket regional approach wasn't going to work. Then they discussed the construction defect bill, and that was Bosnicker and 23 other co-signers to that bill. And that bill was designed to help. These two bills contradict each other. The first bill asked for a maximum standard. This bill asked for a minimum standard so that condos would be more affordable to build. And one of the comments that the governor made at a past press interview was that condos have all but slipped due to the rigorous burden of proof of quality. And if it's good for one, it should be good for the other. On February 6th, the Environmental Impact Assistance Fund Committee met, which I'm a board member of, and met to discuss 64 applications that will be introduced on March 5th and 6th in EATS at our next funding round. February 7th, CCI Legislative Steering Committee briefing met. They had 46 bills that were discussed, and they'll be up for discussion further Thursday and Friday of this week. CCI will take positions at that time. February 8th and 9th, kind of the highlight of the week, Colorado Farm Bureau had the young farmers and ranchers from all over the state come into Las Animas County and do tours and visit our establishments downtown. And these young men and women are professionals. Many of them are attorneys already and moving forward with their lives. They met at the Space to Create, and they met there for educational purposes, which Colorado Farm Bureau provided with legislative updates, and also gave them an opportunity to network amongst each other. My wife and I had the honor of participating as the keynote speakers. They also did a small ag tour at the Yoder's farm. The Yoder's goats were about a week from all, whatever they do, kidding. And so there were a lot of little fat goats running around. They really enjoyed that. The Yoders were very hospitable. And I just wanted to say thanks to the Yoder farm. February 11th, Senator Hickenlooper had a Zoom discussing the future of the Space Command and other Colorado concerns and issues around water budget and ag, and the ag bill in particular. And that's my report, sir.
Thank you, sir. Commissioner, sir.
With my report, it's basically similar to Commissioner has and be Commissioner Lopez, because we've all attended, listened in on the steering committee meetings. The main one and that I'm focused on right now that would affect our county is the regional planning, because it will affect not only our building department as well as the city's building department. I'm not sure where that's going to go. They've got a lot of amendments to do on that one. So we'll be listening in on the steering committee meetings on Thursday and Friday of this week. I think they're going to present a few new bills on there. On Thursday, I'll be attending the Veterans Roundtable over at the Mount Carmel facility. I'm not sure if it's all day or not, but that's pretty much my report at this time.
Thank you. Want to kind of highlight a little bit more on those two bills for any contractors in the audience. One of the things that the state is pushing for highest common denominator and a lowest common denominator. The argument that they keep getting from rural Colorado is that if you have someone building a property, a house on the eastern part of the state where the snow load is perhaps not minimal to, I mean, not equal to the one on the mountains or vice versa, that homeowner is going to be incurring additional cost. And so part of the recommendation, these are going to be regional building codes, which makes a pretty tough to accommodate. You know, they're going to be, I don't know how many counties per region. So imagine Huerfano, Las Animas, Baca, Prowers, and all of us being in one region. Well, we'll go with the maximum and minimum denominator. And in that, there is also the modular fabrication of homes, which is now the next level of, we keep hearing affordable housing. That's no longer the case, where even some of the modular bills are over $200 square foot. I mean, that's expensive, not to say all the engineering costs to do the septic, to do all the other stuff. So by the time you're done with it, some of the homeowners will be paying $250 plus. So let's see that the legislature will be open to hearing the recommendations from the state. We're going to be putting this responsibility on counties, and then counties don't have any say. So what happens, and that's what Commissioner Tony Haas was referring, where are the insurance companies? And now they're at the table saying, well, if you build a house that perhaps through the regional building code and was put on at 10,000 feet of altitude and there is any damages, the insurance has to understand that there are going to be some challenges meeting all that. So, but that's one of the governor's bills. That's one of his priorities, to create affordable housing throughout the state. And so we know that with the makeup of the House and the Senate, that bill is going to pass. There's going to be a lot of amendments that are going to be introduced. And let's see what flavor they bring back to the table. The Colorado Counties Inc., CCI, will entertain all the conversation. And just so you know, right now, the legislature, when you look at 2025, slightly over a month, they've already introduced over 400 bills. 400 bills. And now more than ever, you're seeing the party lines. And quite frankly, there are, as our state representative, Mr. Winter, sends out an update, the good, the bad, and the ugly. There are some really ugly ones in there that are knocking on the door of the Second Amendment. I encourage any and all constituents to go and testify, because this is a huge impact. Senate Bill 3 specifically. Senate Bill 25-003. That is one that is knocking on the door of the Second Amendment, and that's one of the ugly ones that could possibly erode the rights of individuals to, you know, as the Second Amendment guaranteed. The right to bear arms shall not be infringed upon. And so that is exactly what that means. The I had an opportunity on the 11th, as we mentioned, when Senator Hickenlooper met with the entire CCI, the 64 counties, one of the, of course, the recommendation is to send a letter on behalf of all 64 counties. Don't move Space Command. It's already in Colorado Springs. It's working. Let's not create another additional expense. Alabama wants it. Perhaps there were promises made on an election trail, but we don't know that. So I think right now it's going to be a thing of games. Number games. How much is it going to cost to move it versus a lot of the engineers that were moved from all over the United States to Colorado Springs would have to now go back. Some of these young families already purchased homes in the area. They're working there. And so we'll see what happens. But the recommendation is to send a letter on behalf of all the counties to the White House. Colorado supports the Stay in Colorado Space Command. So the one of the very interesting meetings I attended was with healthcare policy and finance, HICPAF, on the 13th. Colorado Hospital Transparency. This was put on by HICPAF, and one of the reports that was actually shared with us why the cost of hospitalization is so expensive. They share with us some slides, and I'm sure if you go to a HCPF State of Colorado, these are the number of uninsured. Just Denver alone, uninsured visits that took place in 2024, over 17,000 visits, basically non-payment back to the hospitals. So when you look at the increase of cost on hospitalization and why some of the hospitals are financially struggling, the emergency department visits from uninsured patients were up by 69% from even pre-COVID baseline. The pre-pandemic uninsured rates range from 6.6 to 7%, and now it's 69%. So just to kind of give us a flavor that throughout, and then of course they attach some of these figures to the migration that Colorado has seen in the last few days. Another meeting that was very quite interesting, it was the Rural Leaders Collaborative on Aging Populations on the 13th. I didn't know this, but Colorado, by and large, we are an aging state. Now, the Metroplex has a lot of the younger, but when you look at, there is a map here, when you look at the map of Los Angeles County, working in the counties, our average is about 50, 55, somewhere around there. Some of us are already there. And so what that means is the services from both the healthcare system, as well as other services, accessibility to other services. And that particular meeting was very, very interesting. The another conversation that we had with the Southeast Colorado Region 19, of which I'm a board member of the Opioid Settlement Funds, I think I'm beginning to get a little bit concerned because we keep putting money at problems, and the result is, I mean, we're moving the needle just slightly. Our region is 9 counties. We're doing really great. In fact, I believe that we're leading the state when it comes to awarding RFPs and putting the services. But right now, one of the things that rose up so high to the level of conversation was mental health. Mental health. I did know this, that 1 in 3 or 1 in 4 Coloradans are going through some really tough challenges when it comes to mental health. That figure was provided to us, and so I did a little more research, and if that is the case, I look around here, and I could be the one in the group, right? You never know. So understanding what's happening, what's going on, these are really some challenges that we're facing, in, specifically in rural Colorado, or what we call frontier counties, which we happen to be one. And let me close with this. When Commissioner Tony Haas and Commissioner Lucero talk about Colorado Counties, Inc., I want to give you an idea of what of the 400 bills that are being introduced thus far, how Colorado County CCI entertains those bills. Agriculture, wildlife, and rural affairs. Right now, we don't have anything. General government, 16 bills. Health and Human Services, 15 bills. These are directly impacting counties, one way or another. Justice and Public Safety, so far, 7 bills. Land Use and Natural Resources, 5. Public lands, thus far, we don't have any, but tax and finance, 4 bills. Tourism, Resorts, and Economic Development, 1 bill. And Transportation and Telecommunications, 6 bills. So when we come together as a body, which will happen this Thursday and Friday, there'll be a big debate. We'll have the sponsors of the legislation, and all counties are at the table. And on it, we'll begin to debate the pro-con of each one of these bills that are going to be directly related. They have a nexus to counties. And from that perspective, we'll take a position. Support, oppose, amend, or simply for a lot of the counties, they tend to abstain from supporting or anything else. And so that document, we send that document to our lobbyists, which we retain at CCI. And the lobbyists go on and work directly with the bill sponsors. And what they do is 64 counties here said, 65% is what we need to acquire. So you might be a no vote, but at the end of the day, 65% of the county said, yes, we oppose this bill, then that's exactly the position that CCI takes. And then the other, one of the really interesting perspectives is we want that bill to be amended. Well, what would you like the amendments to be? So we send that information to our bill proponents through the CCI legislative staff. It's an incredible process. We enjoy it because we have access to. And then from there, the doors open to, if you really support a piece of legislation, to go testify for it as commissioners. And I'm also extending that to any constituent out there. If your position is to oppose, you have the same thing. As I mentioned to you, Senate Bill 3, last Thursday into the wee hours of Friday morning, it went on because this is, once again, one of those bills that is going to be infringing upon the Second Amendment from my perspective, my opinion only. But our website, I believe we have access to the CCI table, bill table that we have in there. And you will see at the end of the day how many of those pieces of legislation would be impacting every and all counties. And I tell you one thing. And I'm going a little bit longer because I want everyone to understand as the legislative session continues to go on, we still have February, the rest of February, March, April, and part of May. So if at the rate of 400 bills per month, we're going to have a lot of information coming our way. And so what makes sense, but the very, very basic line is that when you go to the General Assembly, Colorado General Assembly, you'll be able to actually go in there, Senate or House. And if there's any live sessions, you can actually see it. But if you want to provide testimony, you go into a committee, general, the legislative session, go to a committee, then you actually go in there, sign up and give your comments. And at the end of the day, as citizens, I think it's all of us, the responsibility of all of us to see what's happening at the state level. But quite honestly, this is one thing that is incredibly exciting and informational, because anything that happens in Denver will be impacting us here, you know, and a case with housing. It's if we're going to be building to the standards of the Metroplex, somebody living up in the mountains may not be need to do that kind of thing. So pardon my lengthy report, but I think it's imperative because right now the legislative session is getting that close into it. And also, as your Colorado representative at the National Association of Counties, I sit on the executive board of NACO, National Association of Counties. In that, we're going to be having the national conference, and in there as well, they will ask to give a report what's happening in Colorado, what's ailing Colorado, what is going well in Colorado, what is, and so that'll be my opportunity to be there. And these roundtables happen at the nation's capital, and which is interesting because from the perspective of providing information and bringing information back, it gives us that aperture to understand what's happening from one state to the next. And at the end of the day, I think all of us are pretty much dealing with the same thing. So, commissioners, pardon my lengthy report. That's going to be my report. I'm going to go now to elected officials update. Do we have anyone from the assessor's office? Anyone from the clerk and recorder's office? Treasurer's office. And I got a message from Sheriff Navarrete that he doesn't have any reports to give. Anyone from the district attorney's office? Anyone from the coroner? Hearing that? Now I'm going to go to the next section, Mr. Dorenkamp. Do we have anyone sign up for public comment?
No one signed up, sir.
Thank you. Let me invite anyone that is attending online. If you would like to address this Board of County Commissioners, this would be the opportunity to do so. You would have 3 minutes. All you need to do is raise your hand and or unmute yourself. Anyone online? Hearing that, we're going to move to, we don't have any items on a public public hearing, unfinished business. We're going to go right into new business. 9A, consideration of 25F001, new additional fairgrounds park pavilion, RFQ/P. Mr. Dorenkamp.
Commissioner, before you, for your consideration, is our RFQ/P 25F001 for the construction of a new pavilion slash gazebo out at the fairgrounds in the southeast corner of our park, with the following results: Trinidad Construction Group $123,087 EGD, $179,450 AM, $328,326 Arc Valley, $458,854 Maha, $317,187 Paragon, $272,114.64 RAA option A, $321,827.57 and option B, $373,958.87. The low bid is Trinidad Construction Group, $123,087. It's my opinion, commissioners, that their bid is non-compliant with our RFQ/P. We requested that what I am terming the utility room be outside of the footprint of the pavilion. And I believe the specifications and documents that that were part of that package, our RFQ/P solicitation, clarified to have met on site. And I believe it was made clear there are also all the other contractors who submitted bids have that utility room outside of the footprint of the gazebo slash pavilion. So in my opinion, Trinidad Construction Group's bid is non-compliant. Therefore, the next cheapest, lack of a better way of describing it, bid is EGD, $179,450. We have budget $270,000 for this. I'd ask the board to approve EGD's bid, but the caveat is we will be seeking grant monies to help pay for this. And this was made clear within the bid documents or within the RFQ documents that once we got a guaranteed maximum price, we would then solicit grant monies to help pay for it.
Thank you, Mr. Dorenkamp. And that was going to be one of the questions, when the blueprints and the bid specifications were published, was it clearly indicated that the utility room would be outside of the scope of the footprint?
Commissioner, if you look, yes. But if you look on page 15 of your packet, I clearly indicated that the utility room would be outside of the footprint. I also indicated that during our site visit, that we want the new pavilion to reflect as near as possible what the old pavilion is. But it's the board, the board can always waive that requirement, but if the board does waive that, then I would recommend that we bid it so that all contractors are bidding with the utility room inside of the footprint of the pavilion. It's been my experience when you rebid anything, it tends to increase in price.
The other question I have for finance director, are these going to be any of the lottery funds?
No, this is not. This is actually, like you said, EIL.
Pending approval.
You know, commissioners, I think it's later on in today's agenda, we'll be discussing what projects the board wants to pursue with our next round of energy impact grants application. So this will be part of that discussion.
Okay, commissioners.
I have one question. On the proposals here, how far out are you from applying for the EIAF grant?
I mean, the deadline for the next round, I believe, is April 1. So we'll be submitting the application. Let me rephrase that. We'll be completing the application and have it in front of the board, probably your last meeting of March, so the board can approve that application because it's required to be approved by the commissioners. And then if we're fortunate enough to be awarded, we should have an award letter within a month. So I'm guessing by latter part of April, we'll know. But I don't know when we'll get a contract. We're still waiting on a contract that we received an award letter for the first part of November. Last I heard, we may get the contract ended this month.
Then going out that far, is it going to affect these contract proposals?
It shouldn't, because they were to submit a guaranteed maximum price. And I made it clear that we were going to be pursuing grant release to help pay for this. So I'm guessing if I was a contractor, I'd bump my price a bit. I'd bump my bid a bit with anticipating that materials may go up in price.
And I see where that some of the contractors submitted upon contract award. They have the number of weeks that it would take them to do the project. Commissioner Hess?
No questions.
Well, we have a question in front of us, commissioners. Currently, we have EDG at this point in time met. What is the recommendation from my fellow commissioners?
I do have one question. So if we don't get the EIF grant, then what happens to this project?
It's been budgeted for.
Okay.
The total amount.
Right, but if we don't get the funding, we don't have a match.
Yeah, if we don't get the funding, we have $270,000 budgeted in 2025 for this project. We want to go after funding to pay for half of it, in essence. So the county would be on the hook for $135,000. But if the project isn't funded in our next application through EIAF, then we'd end up having to pay for it in-house if the board elects to do that.
As you said, as far as the budget goes,
Well, once again, back to the point. If you don't have any discussion, I will entertain a motion up or down at this time to proceed with Administrator Doran Camp's recommendations.
I believe we need to move forward to get this done. And I'll move to approve 25F001, and that it be awarded to EGD GMP at $179,450.
I'll second that.
Commissioner Cyril?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. 9B, consideration of 25F002 Fairgrounds Livestock Pavilion Electrical Upgrade, RFQ/P. Back to you, sir.
Commissioner, similar to your prior consideration, this consideration 25F002 and RFQ/P to upgrade our electrical in the livestock pavilion, the 4-H barn. Following results, ESPI $21,405, CCE $28,886, TCG $47,250. Met on site again, did a site visit, explained to each of the contractors that showed up for the site visit exactly what we wanted to accomplish. And all the bids came in as we had hoped. And so I would ask the board to approve ESPI's bid of $21,405. We have budgeted $150,000 for this project, and I developed that from an estimate we got early in the process. It was around $80,000. And I can tell that we have plenty of budget to pay for this. And again, this would be another topic of discussion later in your meeting as to whether or not we want to pursue this, also bundle it with it with some other projects to go after grant monies to pay. And this Thank was you. Also make sure that we'd be pursuing grant monies for additional funding in the RFQ section.
Commissioners, any questions for Administrator Dornkamp? There are, Mr. Dornkamp, on the, there is a document here. I'm on page 212, where we're looking at agricultural buildings. I don't know if these are your notes.
No, sir, this was part of CCE's submission. They included this page out of statute.
Okay, thank you.
I shouldn't say statute, out of some electrical manual, I believe.
Very good. What is the timeline to complete this project? Once again, based upon the approval of the grant, based upon, and given that amount, has that been, do you have anything, either through Roden Bridge General budgeted for this particular project?
It is budgeted in the general funds budget, I believe, fairgrounds.
Capital expenditure.
Thank you. Capital expenditure.
Commissioners? Any questions? Hearing no questions, I will entertain a motion either to approve or to deny the item 9B.
I will move to approve ESPI's bid of $21,405 for 25-F02 Fairgrounds Livestock Pavilion Electrical Upgrades.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cyril?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, thank you. 9C, consideration of 25 ARFQ Perry Stokes Airport Consultant Services, RFQ. Back to you, sir.
Commissioners, we solicited responses for 25 ARFQ and RFQ for Perry Stokes Airport Consulting Services. Committee put together to interview and listen to presentations from three different companies that submitted their interest. I believe it was the committee's, no belief about it, it was the committee's recommendation that we let the board award this to Bolton and Mink When we interviewed them, they came across very well, as did all three consultants. They all three have what I believe are good engineers, can do the engineering portion of our airport work without any hesitation. The one thing that Bolton and Meek, I believe, brought to Los Angeles County that the others didn't is the ability to assist us in growing our airport. They have a person on staff who has grown airports, quote unquote, grown airports before. Of course, it was in Denver metro area where there are a whole lot more planes, et cetera. But this individual also thought that they could help us with our military growth along with our FBO. So I'd ask the board to approve Bolton and Meek as our consulting firm for, I believe, the next 5 years is what that time frame will be. And then whoever the board approves for our consulting services, then we will work on a contract. And as a side note, as part of that contract, when we do get the terms and the fees for that contract, then we have to run it through a third party. And in the past, I believe we've used a company called Root and Associates to make sure that any types of fees that the consultant will be charging us are comparable to what the FAA allows.
And that's, thank you. You kind of took that question off of my highlighted portions here. Are the fees going to be designed based upon the number of aircraft that is landing and departing from our facility? Is the size of the airport, the runways? How do they calculate the actual assessment of those fees back to the county?
A good question that I'll answer for to look through the FAA's guidelines. But my understanding is that based upon what our capital improvement plan shows, they develop fees for that. Now, there may be additional fees like there were in the last round when we go outside of the scope of work, when we start doing industrial park type work or other work that's outside of those scopes, then we may end up with an additional fee.
I'm going to ask a question that's going to be way up there on left field. Given the response that this particular group of consultants have, what if the fees that come to us are extremely unaffordable? We will have the ability at that point in time not to continue with the with this consultant company, correct?
That's correct, Commissioner, but each of these consultants is aware that whatever fees they're going to charge or want to charge Los Angeles County will have to be approved by the FAA, and they also have to go through, as I said, a third party in that. Let me call it an independent party. The independent party makes sure the fees that we're going to be paying are within range of what the FAA permits.
Because the FAA still pays 90% of the office of any kind of grant of saying that we do at the airport. Yeah. So that's why they probably have the bigger say so we do.
Yes. And that is thank you so much. The one I know both of you pretty, I would imagine both of you sat on the interview committee. And what do you see as far as, you know, the growth? I mean, promoting the airport, that's, I mean, we know we have spoken to that for quite a few years. Specifically, what are some of the, for our constituents out there, one of some of the comments that we can put our hands around? We have an industrial park proposal there. How would they support the expansion of such?
The industrial park? Selling our airport, the industrial park, to companies who are looking for an area with a smaller airport, but with good other transportation services. And we've got I-25, we've got freight trains and passenger trains coming through our area. So that, and then also an increase in air traffic, which is going to be a challenge. Our FBO is looking at constructing new hangars out there, especially The latest one that he's pushing for is an 80 by 100 hangar. And we go to house, because that was one of my questions. One of our questions to one of the consultants is, well, why would we need an 80 by 100? And he said, typically what happens is, I'm going off in the weeds here, is when there's maneuvers going on out of the Pinon Canyon that they'll want to have, especially if there's rotary aircraft, they'll want to have the rotary aircraft, at least two of them, one for responding to emergencies and one responding, I think, to fires. But they like to have them housed, so that was one of the reasons why I wanted this 80 by 100. And then also, it's a long-range goal, but we'd sure like to put a taxiway in out there. The reason being is our FBO also said that to get jets in to our airport, which is what he's pushing to try and do also, pilots, any pilot, but especially jet pilots, don't like coming, turning around at the end of the runway, coming back down the runway. Those jets are way too expensive. If somebody happens to want to land on the taxiway at the same time, or on the runway the same way, same time they're taxiing back, then it's going to be a disaster. So that's another push. And these folks thought that they could help us. And of course, that's going to be, you know, 7, 8, 9 years out, sure, not further. But
sure. Well, I want to thank all of you for going through this selection on for this consultant. Thank you for the work that you put in, and thank you for sharing that documentation with us, Commissioner. Commissioners, any additional discussion?
All right. It's great to see the interest that this generated, and that there were so many qualified candidates that were willing to look into it. For so many years, it just kind of sit there idle, and I'm pretty excited about seeing this move forward. With that, I'll make the motion to award the 25 ARFQ Perry Stokes Airport Consultant Services to Boltman & Meek.
I second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. Let me go down to 9F, consideration of retail liquor license renewal application for Crowbar. And one of my first gestures, counsel.
I've reviewed. I have no question.
Thank you. Thank you. Commissioners?
I've seen the sheriff's report. They have not had a whole lot of calls out there, so. I would move to approve the retail liquor license renewal application for Crowbar.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Consideration of County Road 69.2 Simpsons Rest closure. This is a request from the City of Trinidad for safety concerns during a water tank rehabilitation. Mr. Dorenkamp, why didn't you give us some details on that?
Commissioners, the City has approached the county with a request to close County Road 69.2 during the renovation of their north side tank, they call it, excuse me. Concerns are that with the construction, there may be times when the road's going to be either closed up to where that tank is, or there's going to be real narrow passageways past the construction going on, and there's fear that a car or a vehicle could inadvertently go off the, I guess I'll call it the east side of that Simpsons Rest Road. The projected project timelines from February 24th through May 15th.
Thank you. And for information to the public, the city is going to be draining these tanks, sandblasting them, recoating, painting them, and installing all the proper safety equipment, ladders, vents, et cetera, et cetera. So I don't have any additional questions, commissioners. I think for the safety perspective of which we don't want to have a construction truck going up there meeting with a one of our citizens and inadvertently created an accident. So from that perspective, I do support the request. And from the 24th of February, which is this upcoming Monday, basically through May 15th. And if there's going to be my only, as you communicate with the city, if there's going to be any extended dates to that closure, please keep communication ongoing with them.
And we'll ask the city then to put a blurb in the paper and also on all the social media that the road is going to be closed for
okay.
that time frame.
Very well.
And who will turn them back? Who, if there's somebody trying to come up there, they're going to have a gate there. They're going to have somebody with a stop sign.
What the plan is just to lock the gate,
lock
put a road closed sign there. Okay. The gate being down at the bottom of the hill.
Thank you. I will then entertain a motion.
Having been up there in the spring of the year when that's iced over anyway on the shady side of that, it is a hazard just the way it is, not without truck traffic. So I would move to approve the County Road 69.2 Simpson Rest closure request from the City of Trinidad for safety concerns during the time frame February 24th through May 15th.
I second that.
Commissioner Cicero?
Yes.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. 9H, consideration of CDOT Main Street Grant PO 41103-7499. Mr. Dornkamp.
Before you for your consideration, Commissioners, CDOT Main Street Grant PO 41103-7499. For $56,788, this is the project for paving on County Road 83.1, just north of the Holly School. And with the CDOT Main Street grants, the PO process is required. So I'd ask the board to approve this. And I think our finance director pursued reimbursement, unless we've already
received it.
Well, it's a done deal. I don't think we have any questions. You know, when the money person says we're good, we're good. Thank you. I will entertain a motion.
I will move the CDOT Main Street grant PO 41103-7499 be approved.
Second the motion.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Cicero?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. 9I, discussion and consideration of Energy Impact Assistance Funds Grant Fairgrounds Improvement March Cycle. Back to you, sir. I think this is what you were making reference to.
This is what I was making reference to earlier in the meeting, commissioners, is what the board's desire is and what to pursue in this next grant. I know the board had expressed a desire to go big, I guess is the term, since we're not sure how much longer the energy impact money is going to be available, and if so, at what level. And so we put this chart, lack of a better way of describing it, together where the kitchen and the grandstand, we've got a guaranteed maximum price on this also, $470,500. The trail and the path is the path on the exterior, just inside the exterior wall of the backside, I'll call it, and fairgrounds, $408,000, that includes lighting. The gazebo, which is what we just discussed a little earlier, the 4-H barn electrical. That was the total construction based upon Art Valley, who we engaged the services of to come up with a guaranteed max price on a number of different facility upgrades out at the fairgrounds, plus general conditions for total budget. And we also kicked in sporting fields, which we had discussion off and on for a FIFA regulation soccer field. RV sites, we talked about that, $15,000 a site, campsites, $8,000 a site. And then maintenance supervisor and also finance director, Christy Carver, about the fact that it seems like we have an awful lot of water leaks out there in that fairgrounds. From the PVC pipe that was installed, I'm not sure when that was installed, probably the late 1990s. And so there was an idea kicked around, maybe replacing it with some 2-inch poly or 3-inch poly. And that's a really rough estimate of that poly that it came with. So it's kind of the board's desire of what you'd like us to pursue in the next round of energy impact grants.
I guess I had a question on the sporting fields. Are we going to build something that's not going to be utilized much, being that the city has parks? I know from South, like in Southside Park, their youth programs, I mean, it's dwindled down to, I think there's 4 fields up there. I think last year there was three baseball, little league baseball teams, and they had to play each other. That's all there was 3. And I don't want to build something that's going to just be sitting there.
One of the conversations that we had early on, and we had a very brief conversation with Trinidad State and the high school for their soccer programs. I don't think they would be in cooperation. And I think if this was to move forward, that was going to be my comment, to engage the AYSO, the high schools or high school, and the college, so they can be participants on a project like this. I totally agree with Commissioner Lucero. I don't want us to just put whatever amount of money up there. But since the college at this point in time does not have an official soccer field, I think the initial support was, yes, we would be very interested in supporting that. And the idea for us was to bring traffic to that part of our community and opening up the fairgrounds so they can actually see what we have out there, and then having the walking trails and families begin to use that. That was kind of the intent historically at Commissioner Lucero, that if we were going to go through this, we would have to have a cooperation and partnership with the college, with the high school or high schools, and then the AYSO, and then go from there and see where the project would end up. That's and it would not necessarily be trying to replicate some of the services that the city already has throughout various parts of the city.
And if I may add to the conversation, what we kicked around at the administrative level is perhaps if the board wants us to pursue the sporting fields, it and the trail/path through local grants. We've been in preliminary contact with South Central Economic Development, is going to help us through the process. But yeah, if the board doesn't believe that a soccer field or a soccer field is relevant or something we should pursue, absolutely. But I guess too, as people, we hope we'll start utilizing that park, perhaps in addition to the basketball court that was installed recently, that maybe kids will get out there and run around on the soccer field. It's all year.
So the question on all of these projects is, you want to rank, you want to, what are you looking for? You want us to tell you what we feel like is important?
What I would like you folks to do is to tell us what you want us to pursue through the energy impact grant monies. And
for a total dollar amount of?
Close to a couple million is what the board had expressed. But again, my thoughts are to kick out the sporting fields and kick out the trail. Because we can go after local grants for those from preliminary discussions with SCAN to go after those grant monies for those two projects. And I think Finance Director Kobe told us that it looked like that those would be eligible for local grants. And then, the kitchen, the gazebo, the electrical on the 4-H part, I think that was a high priority of the board because running during fair time, it's not uncommon for those breakers to, electrical breakers to kick off because they're overloaded. And then RV sites, campsites, replacing the pipe or water line.
I'm all about infrastructure, and I like the idea of fixing the leaks and getting the poly done. That 4-H barn, the electrical system from way back when my kids were in 4-H has been a problem and a safety hazard. I think you know, that's got to be right up there ranking toward the top. The rest of that, we got to get ADA compliant with the building. And I mean, that's pretty much a mandate. The rest of it
can wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the way you broke up this particular project, I think it makes sense. All the way from where you go, the kitchen grandstand, all the way down to the your total budget of $1.5 million. I think that's something that we could probably move forward, and then later on consider that would be phase two for the recreation and outdoor accessibility.
Okay, so we'll pursue the polypipe, yep, the kitchen grandstand, the gazebo, and the electrical upgrades.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and everything else on hold. Okay.
So.
And then GoCo grants, we'll obviously bring it back to you folks for approval, but then we'll look at continue to pursue the sporting fields and the path and trail through GoCo.
There was a conversation that was had, was that with GoCo, a while back? And I think that the mapping and planning of these outdoors facilities was presented to them. And I'm not sure, I can't remember what the recommendation was, but or was it GoCo or somebody else? Nonetheless, I don't want us to go back and I don't want to digress. The plan that you have here makes sense, and I agree with my fellow commissioners. Let's move on with things, and that's going to be phase two or three down the road.
Okay.
Commissioners, if there is no additional discussion, I will entertain a motion.
Motion to approve the EIF grant fairgrounds improvement March cycle with those items identified.
Second.
Mr. Cerro?
Yes.
Mr. Hatch?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. Discussion and consideration of Resolution 25-015, appointing a representative of Los Animas County to the South Central Council of Governments Executive Board. Mr. Dornkamp.
Moving for your consideration is Resolution 25-015, Commissioners. And it has historically been an annual appointment, and we're asking the board maybe to consider that appointment either on 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 year appointments, similar to what you did with OPI. So we're not having to revisit this every year. So the language isn't set yet. We're asking the board to set that language as far as a time frame that you want this appointment to represent Los Animas County in COG.
And as we set the language, also one of the recommendations I wanted to make is to have a proxy in there. So the appointee would be A and the proxy would be, and on that particular one, I would step back and ask my fellow commissioners on that proxy, because there's going to be times that the appointee might not be available. And Mr. Commissioner Lucero has been, we have an all-day meeting this Friday, so I'll be there. But I think, thank you, Commissioner Hassan. Yeah. I would agree with that.
Mr. Lucero's proxy?
Yes. Now, let me put it back to you.
That
wasn't
on your agenda.
Okay. I was referring to the language that we were speaking of. Okay, very good. Very. Thank you, counsel. I appreciate that.
I think a four-year time period, time frame would be good, because we got two commissioners that were just recently elected that could do that four-year time period. We're on term limited anyway, so.
And if you approve that, what you could do is table the resolution for itself and you bring it back at your next meeting, address the fraction first, that language in there.
Very good. Mr. Dornkamp, you have some homework to do, sir. And I retract my comments.
Table.
Yes.
Yeah, move to table this item.
Second
the resolution for COG.
Mr. Cerro?
Yes.
Mr. Hatch?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez.
Yes. So that item has been tabled. 9K, consideration of Colorado State University Board of Governors Extension MOU. Mr. Dornkamp.
Commissioner, before you, for your consideration is the MOU with Colorado State University Extension.
Council, there were some blank items on the last one. Have you had an opportunity to read it? And do you have any concerns?
I don't see the blank from this version. And they have blank in your names, but I don't see, everything in this version is complete.
Thank you, ma'am. Commissioners, any discussion on this item?
Yes, we did. You want to take it off again?
Yes. Commissioners, thank you, Council. I think what we need to do.
Well, then I goofed up on that because I didn't realize this had been tabled. I thought it was completely dismissed and was told.
No, because we had some information that was not completely filled in.
There's two BDs to be determined. There's a bunch of those.
Very good. So let me retract the comments. And at this time, our consideration of Colorado State University Board of Governors Extension MOU was laid on the table a couple of meetings back, or at least at the very last meeting. So at this time, I'm going to entertain a motion to remove from the table.
So moved.
Second the motion.
Commissioner Hess?
Yes.
Commissioner Cyril?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. So now, having received a kind of a we're okay kind of a contract from council, commissioners, any discussion on this MOU?
Now, on this MOU, we have Kim Peters listed and we have Bruce Frickenshire listed. Bruce will be
retiring,
and Kim will be resigning soon. Is that?
Can they're still there.
Yeah, they're.
They can ask for a little bit.
Okay.
I move to approve the Colorado State University Board of Governors Extension MOU.
Second the motion.
Mr. Hess?
Yes.
Mr. Cyril?
Yes.
Mr. Lopez?
Yes. Thank you. The finest portion of the meeting, financial matters, consideration of payroll and bills for the first half of February 2025. Good morning, Finance Director.
Good morning. Payroll as of February 15, 2025 is $240,773.45. Do you have any questions on payroll? Invoices paid on February 6th. Is $438,035. Sorry, my cheaters, I don't have them. Let's see, in this packet, I flagged, a Colorado Division of Fire Prevention. This here is, we give $200 to the local volunteer firefighters. So that, and this is an annual thing that we do. We pay $1,000. To them, and they disperse, I think, for equipment for the firefighters. Last time I had a check that I said that I was going to void, the one to Robert Shannon for royalties for $17,952. That was the correct amount. And I think that's all I have. If you have any, if I missed anything, please.
No, thank you. And you know, I want for the public full transparency on the royalties. Can you either you or Mr. Dornkamp, this is the extraction of gravel from someone's gravel pit, correct?
That's correct. Not only gravel, so, but also any other type of material we remove from their pit.
Thank you. Yeah, I received a question, and I'd rather put it out there simply, you know, wondering why are we paying royalties? That's exactly what that is the county benefits. Our constituents get the gravel, the material, and so we have long-standing agreement with this landowner.
And our current royalty is 50 cents a ton, which is below standard but that's where we're at.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate that. Finance Director Corbelly, anything else?
That's all I have.
Commissioners, any questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move to approve payroll bills for the first half of February 2025.
And I just want to comment that Commissioner Lopez, he has a warped sense of humor if he thinks this is fun. But, but I'll second the motion.
Commissioner.
Yes.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes, sir. We don't have any items for executive session, and having no other items on this particular agenda, wow, this has to be a record. I will entertain a motion to adjourn this Board of County Commissioners.
So moved.
Second.
Commissioner Cerro?
Yes.
Commissioner Hash?
Yes.
Commissioner Lopez?
Yes. Thank you, and we'll see you here at 1:00.